that person up, tweet them, email them, Facebook them, send a letter, do a phone call, but call them and say thank you. And I hope the second thing that may happen from this National Teacher Day is, with all the talk about teachers, what a difference they make in students' lives and people calling to thank them, that maybe some young folks will start considering teaching as their profession. We're going to need many in the future. It's a demanding profession, and we want the boldest, the brightest, the toughest, and those who have a real passion and commitment. So I hope they hear the message and say, I too want to be a teacher when I grow up.
Are young people considering teaching, or are their numbers falling off a bit?
We get a lot of people who consider teaching. We have a lot of people who come in. The sad news is that, according to the Department of Education, we lose about 47% in the first 5 years. And that just is a statistic that we must change. There's no occupation or profession that can build itself when you have that kind of a turnover. To have a turnover of 50% every 5 years is just wrong. Whether you're talking about doctors or plumbers, electricians, carpenters, lawyers, it doesn't matter. Those professions need people to stay. Not everyone, obviously, but the main core has to build their expertise over time. And I know, as a classroom teacher for 23 years, I know that I learned as I went, and I got better and better each year. And that's what we want every profession to do.
Why do you think that turnover rate is so high?
I think one of the things is that teaching for some is different than they anticipated. Number two, I think some of the training we do doesn't really prepare them. Some of these routes that are so short, and they don't get real practice in the field, and when they get there, they say, oh my, this is not for me. When you think of other professions, in law, you're an associate, and you learn and work with the senior partners before you're on your own. In medicine, you do first an internship and then a residency. And in education, we give them the short-circuited training, stick them in a classroom, make them the teacher of record. It's a bad process. It's wrong for kids, and it's wrong for the people. So we need to spend a little more time thinking about what is the kind of field experience and training that people need before they go into the classroom. The misconception out there is that if you know the content, you're ready. I can tell you, as a math teacher for 23 years, I never had a problem with knowing how to do the problems that were in textbooks. I knew how to do those. But being able to create a learning environment for all students so that they, number one, can get it and understand it, and number two, they see the relevance of what you're talking about in their future life, that's a lot more than just content knowledge.
You were a teacher for 23 years. How did teaching change over those 23 years from your first day in the classroom to the last?
I often talk to people about what I consider the major transition times in my teaching. I started teaching in 1968. And so from 1968 to 1983, education in this country was always seen as the solution, never the problem. Whether you're talking about the GI Bill, the National Defense Education Act, Elementary Secondary Education Act, the IDEA, which is the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, all of that was to level the playing field. In 1983, when A Nation at Risk came out, all of a sudden education was named the problem instead of the solution. Not in the report, but in the introduction. And then the next major transition point was in 2002 with No Child Left Behind. We totally transformed teaching into test giving. Not only did we give more and more tests, we did practice tests, drill for tests. And I feel sorry for people who started in the fall of 2002 and beyond, because their world of teaching is so different than the one I started in. And we need to go back. We need to build a profession. We need to create learning experiences, not just testing experiences, and understand the difference. The purpose of tests, I want to say, teachers are not opposed to tests. We created them. In 23 years, I never went a week without giving a test or a quiz, but its purpose was clear. It was to inform students and me where there was understanding and where they still didn't yet understand. And that's what we need to do differently.
There's always a lot of talk about raising the academic bar. How much further should the bar go up, or is it high enough already?
I think when we talk about raising the bar for entry into the teaching profession, they're not talking just about grade point average. What they're talking about is raising the level of the training to make sure that it's field-based, that you actually have time in the classroom learning your profession before you become the teacher of record. They're talking about making sure that you have the tools and knowledge necessary in order to do that. When you look at the objectives and the in National Board Professional Teaching Standards, they identify what teachers ought to know and be able to do, and it's to say, I have reached board certification, like a doctor or lawyer does. But those same skills are required day one. You should be profession ready. And so what we need to do is pay more attention to that training. And so when we say raising the bar, we're raising the bar on the training and knowledge that you must possess prior to entering the classroom as a teacher of record.
What about raising the bar on students? Are the academic standards that students have to meet tough enough?
I think we made a major step forward when 45 states and the District of Columbia adopted the Common Core State Standards. They define what adults believe in the 21st century. What do you need to know as a student? What do you need to know and be able to do to be successful, whether you go college route or career route? And the standards are there. Now we have the hard part. We have to implement those. We have to find teaching and learning materials that help students achieve those standards. So those standards, from compared to the old ones, there are fewer. They require much more complex problem solving. When you look at the verbs in these new standards, it talks about differentiating, compare, analyze, which are skills that you need in the 21st century for sure, as we tackle the kinds of problems that are today. Now we need to make sure that we provide the opportunity for every student to get there. So I believe we've done a lot in terms of defining the standards, but we have a long way to go of implementing those well, of developing the curriculum and learning materials for the students, and we need to take enough time so that students, parents, and educators know completely what those new standards are and how best to get students there.
One trend in education in recent years is not just comparing students by district or to each other, but by comparing American students to how we shape up against, say, the Chinese or European students. Do you think that's a fair comparison, and is it an important comparison?
I think it's one of many measures we ought to look at. I think when we decide high-stakes decisions on a single measure, a single test given one day of the year, that's where we run into problems. It's kind of like if in the business world, if you were to evaluate, you wanted to buy a company and you wanted to know what is its worth, you would look at many different measures, debt-to-equity ratio, net assets, current ratios, sales, both past and projected. So you look at multiple points of information, and based on all of that, you decide. So international tests are one way of looking at the system. And we have a very complex system. We have a federal government with laws, rules, regulations, and some money, about 9%, 50 different states, 15,000 school districts. It's a very complex system. So I think we need to look at multiple places. We need to look at school readiness. Are we doing for young people what they need in 0 to 5 age to be ready for school? Are we doing what we need to ensure a quality workforce? Are we doing what's necessary to create the standards and curriculum in every school so that teachers have what they need to assist students? I think you can make a pretty solid case that it doesn't matter where you grow up in this day and age in this global society, there are certain things everyone is going to need to know and be able to do. So I think that international assessment is one of many measures we have to look at to determine, is our educational system, the whole system, doing what it ought to for every single young person in America?